Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Praise God for His healing. And praise God for the Holy Communion. You know, this is one of the very few medicines I can think of that has no side effects. In this day and age where they come up with a new medicine for almost anything, it's just crazy. One time I asked a man, I said, what's this pill for? And he told me. And I said, what's this one for? And he said, well, that takes care of the side effects of this one. And I said, well, what's this one for? That takes care of the side effects for this other one. He had 20 pills. God gave us the communion for a reason. And in fact, Paul told us that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. So when we look at this bread, God wants us to look at the sacrifice of Jesus. He wants us to see Him through all of His passion. He wants us to see Him where He was beaten and bruised. He wants us to see Him where He went to the whipping post to get scourged, and He took stripes on His back for our healing. He wants us to see Him on that cross, where He took all of our sins and sicknesses, where the full wrath of God's judgment was laid upon Him. He wants us to see His body pierced. He wants us to see His shed blood, the blood that was meant to be shed for us. And He wants us to partake of His broken body and receive healing in our bodies through His grace. He wants us to honor the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that could have washed away our sins. And it's the blood of Jesus that has saved us from the gates of hell. And it's the blood of Jesus that has completely paid our debt. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we can go boldly into God's presence and receive mercy and grace in times of need. And it's only because of the blood of Jesus that we can have answered prayers. We praise You for this in Jesus' name. Are you ready to boogie? Okay. We're going to get back to our study on grace to meet every need. I want you to open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and we'll look at our main text here. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. The Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It doesn't say anything in there about you being strong in yourself. It says be strong in the Lord. The only way to be strong in the Lord is to feed on His Word and rely on His grace. See, too many times we look to our own resources to meet the need. When God wants us to look to Him, we're supposed to cast our eyes upon Jesus for everything we need. Sometimes people get this idea that they can meet these needs in and of themselves. Even though they do have the resources, God still met the need. See, you'll never truly understand grace until you step out to do the impossible. See, you never know how far you can go until you dare to go too far. See, when you get out there where your resources and your talent and your knowledge and your wisdom cannot seal the deal, and you can only look to Jesus to finish the job, then you'll understand grace. Then you'll understand just how truly blessed you are. And it's because of His grace. See, when we realize that we really don't deserve anything, have you ever thought about that? You know, you really should stop asking to get what you deserve. What we deserve is the cross. That's what we deserve in and of ourselves. But because we've been made a part of the family, now we have an inheritance. Now it's ours because of what somebody else did. When you understand what righteousness means, it means right standing. You got brought into right standing with God because of what somebody else did. And His name is Jesus. You couldn't work your way there. You couldn't buy your way there. You couldn't do anything to get there. All you could do is call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Now you're starting to understand grace. And that's one of the most important things to do for your faith walk, is to understand grace. You're saved by faith that it might be by grace. You're saved by grace that it might be by faith. Grace and faith go hand in hand. You can't separate them. In fact, when you see Jesus in His grace, He'll see you in your faith. Too many times we try to put too much burden on ourselves and too much weight on ourselves trying to operate in faith. Well, what we're really supposed to do is look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. When we look unto Him and see what He's already done for us, that causes faith to happen in our heart. Faith is a direct result of grace. Now, I want you to look over to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to see a particular need that a lot of people need at different times. Verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord." How many of you need grace and peace? All of us need grace and peace. The whole world is seeking for peace. You know, that's one of the things that causes alcoholism, drug addiction, sexual addictions, addictions to money, addictions to work. People are seeking peace. See, there's a void on the inside of every man that cannot be filled with anything but God. And we have this fine-tuned thinking machine that's up here between our ears. That gets us in all kinds of trouble. And what happens sometimes is our minds get so chaotic and so crazy. And maybe, you know, things that have happened to us in our childhood, or, you know, maybe he was a soldier. You know, there's a lot of different things that happen to people in life that cause this thing to get whacked out. You know, there's a lot of people that suffer from PTSD, and people wonder, why can't you just deal with it? Well, they can't without God. So what happens is people have been trained to go to the doctor instead of the healer. So they go to the doctor and they say, I can't get this thing to shut up. I can't have any peace. This thing's just driving me crazy. So the doctor will prescribe them a drug. And it'll mask the symptom for a little while. And then you need another one. And then you need another one. And then you need another one. And then pretty soon you're addicted. See, that's alcoholism. There's a root in people's souls that's causing bad fruit. And they need to mask it so they'll self-medicate with alcohol and drugs or any other kind of addiction you can imagine. People will have eating addictions. They have all kinds of different addictions. All that is a way to medicate the fruit that they're producing in their life because of a bad root. And the only way to get to that bad root is through Jesus. See, that's one thing about the communion. People can use the Holy Communion for a lot of different things. See, he was beaten and bruised for an iniquity. Bruised inside. He had internal bleeding. He shed his blood. Inside, too. Sometimes people have deep, deep hurts inside of them. Maybe something happened to them when they was a child and they just cannot seem to get over it. And the doctors have tried to figure out, and the psychiatrists have tried to figure out, and everybody's tried to figure it out. Jesus can get to those deep wounds and heal those. But we need grace and peace. And it gets multiplied to us through the knowledge of God. In fact, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Isn't that interesting? Jesus didn't tell us to learn about money. He didn't tell us to learn about healing. He didn't tell us to learn about deliverance. He didn't tell us to learn about anything. But he said, to learn of me. The more we learn of Jesus, the more that stuff is going to come to us. It's all wrapped up in him. And if you go down to verse 3, it's according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. See, God has already given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's not just your needs. That's wants too. But it's through the knowledge of him. See, it's all wrapped up in him. It always points to the cross. Remember, the gospel is Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you're listening to anything that does not lead you to the cross of Christ, stop. If it ever gets you to the point where you think your performance has to be a certain way, stop. They're blessed because of what Jesus did. Now, because you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, now you perform a certain way. Because of that, you're not performing a certain way to get that. Amen? Now go down here to verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, you've already been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. God bought you with the price of the shed blood of Jesus. It's more precious than silver and gold. If there's anybody that can do anything that's more valuable than the blood of Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. I see that hand up in the air, Ron. Oh, you're just scratching your head. Okay. But really, the only way we could deserve anything is if whatever we can do is of more value than the blood of Jesus. There's nothing that we could possibly do that's more valuable than the precious blood of Jesus, is there? No. So we don't really deserve anything. We can only receive it. Amen? Okay. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. So therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. I learned a lot in the Word of Faith circles, and that's where I grew up as a Christian, was in the Word of Faith circles. I didn't, however, hear those verses. I heard a lot about tithing. I heard a lot about giving. I heard a lot about a lot of other stuff, but I did not hear very many preachers talking about those verses right there. And so I run into a lot of people in my circle, and they say, yeah, we're saved by grace. We're healed by his stripes. It's by his grace. And everything would be by his grace until you got to prosperity and said, I'm blessed because I'm a tither. So now it's no longer by grace, but it's by your own efforts and your good works. Are you saved by grace? Then you better learn how to live by grace. Now here's the thing, you've got to have your feet set on the firm word of the faith. For you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. You know something? A lot of these Word of Faith preachers will take me back to Abraham when he met up Melchizedek and said, well, he paid tithes. Yeah, he got made rich first. Yes, he did pay tithes. But guess what? He was very, very wealthy before he did that. God made him very wealthy before he did that. What happened first? God blessed him. So he had something to give. Amen. How else is it going to work? He first gives us something so that we have something to give. Amen? So it's by grace. You know, you just will jump on the grace wagon because it's a lot funner. And it's a lot better. And you'll have way more success. I promise you. It'll be a lot more comfortable. A lot funner. And then you can just look to Jesus and say, thank you. Thank you for blessing me. I got something to give. Amen? Let's look over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. And for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, that'd be us. Did you know you was a Gentile before you got born again? That's us. If you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me toward you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. See, you've been made fellow heirs with in Christ Jesus. And in fact, the Bible tells us that he has given unto you freely all things with Christ Jesus. See, he didn't say he gave unto you all things and Christ Jesus. It comes with Christ Jesus. See, everything is wrapped up in Jesus. And you've been made fellow heirs. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. But there's too much focus on we being separated from the Jews when in fact we got grafted into Christ Jesus. Did you know Jesus was Jewish? We've been grafted in. And now he's the vine and we're the branches and we produce fruit only because of him. Only because of his life flowing through us. See, if you separate the branch from the vine, that branch is going to dry up and wither away. When you stay grafted into Christ, his life will flow through you and you will produce fruit. See, none of you can produce fruit on your own. If you just have to have me prove that to you, I'll give you a little experiment that you can try at home. Go home and spend a week praying for patience. And then come and tell me how that went for you. The more you focus on being patient, the less patient you're going to be. Don't ask me how I know. But patience is a fruit. Patience is a fruit. And it comes only from abiding in the vine. So how do we get that fruit to produce in our life? By fellowshipping with Jesus through His Word, letting His life flow through us. The same way with love. Go home and focus on how much you're going to love the world. And in fact, how much you're going to focus on loving God. And then come back and tell me how that worked for you. Focus on the love that God has for you. See, get on the other side of the cross. Focus on how much God loves you. Did you know that He loves you with the same love that He loves Jesus with? See, when we focus on how much God loves us, see, now it's not about us. When we focus on how much we love God, now it's about our performance. I promise you, you'll fail. If you have an honest bone in your body, the devil will come and tell you where you failed to not love somebody at some point. Because that's the law. But when you focus on how much God loves you, the rest of this stuff is going to come a lot easier. You know, some of the meanest people I ever ran into were in church. I'm serious. Because they were focused on their good works and their behavior. And they were just mean. That's not the way it's supposed to be. God wants the kingdom of God to reside on the inside of you. And the kingdom of God is love, joy, and peace, and the Holy Ghost. Righteousness. He said to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The only way we're going to successfully do that is look unto Jesus. Look to the cross. Stop focusing on yourself. Focus on Jesus. God is not looking at you through a magnifying glass. A lot of people act that way. And I can tell they act, I can tell that that's the way they're living. Because when somebody else makes a mistake, they point at them. Look what he did. He should be ashamed of himself. He should be run out of town. Instead of acting like Paul and going and saying, hey, look, man, we need to get this thing fixed. Let's restore you. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? When somebody makes a mistake, they already know that. They don't need the church to remind them of it every day for the rest of their life. Look, you're saved by grace. You are going to make mistakes, I promise you. This is one of the best revelations I ever had in my life. I was reading my Bible one day, and I was reading, and I looked, and I said, I finally got mad. I threw it down on the table. I'd been listening to everybody. I said, God, I can't live like this. I can't do these things. I promise you, I'll make a mistake when I get out of bed, walking down the hallway to the bathroom. I'll make a mistake before I even get to the bathroom. And I was frustrated because I couldn't live that way. I was honest with myself and I was honest with God. You know what I found out? I didn't have to live that way. Jesus already did that for me and I'm supposed to look unto Him. Amen? We're saved by grace, not by your good works. Now, let's go to Galatians. Chapter 3, verse 13. says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now here's the thing. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Period. What's the curse of the law? Pretty much any bad thing. I mean, if it's killing, stealing, and destroying, that's the curse of the law. All these sicknesses, all these like poverty, sickness, loss, all that stuff, it's all laid out in Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's all laid out there for you. You know, the blessings are the first 13 verses. And that curse just goes on and on and on. I mean, it takes a long time to read that thing, and it's bad. Maybe just to familiarize yourself with the curse of the law, you might go back and read that just once. Don't spend a lot of time there. Just go find out what that is. Now, I got a question for you. How is the curse going to come upon you? By keeping the law. By trying to keep the law. That's how the curse comes on you. By trying to keep the law. Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. How would you frustrate the grace of God? By trying to keep the law. Well, I don't try to keep the law. Are you depending on your good behavior and your good works to get the blessing of God? Well, yeah, you're keeping the law. What happens if you make a mistake? Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law. I can tell. I've asked a lot of people this. I said, are you really redeemed from the curse of the law? Yes, of course I am. And stop paying tithes for a couple months. No. Why? It says something bad will happen. I thought you was redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, we keep on giving, we keep on paying tithes, but it's not to keep us from being cursed. We keep on giving and keep on paying tithes because He first gave to us. Amen? If you're living your life in fear of something bad happening to you, if you do something wrong, you're law-stricken. Now, this does not give you a license to go be an idiot. This is not a license to sin. But this should take a weight off of your shoulder. You're free to live your life in Christ Jesus. You have that liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that He has given you. That's one of the laws. You know, there is a law of liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in that liberty. I mean, do not let yourself get shackled to the law. Do not get yourself shackled into good works to earn something. You do good works because you already have something. Amen? Get back to that next verse there, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You know, when I found those verses, I thought, wow, that's my ticket. I really felt excited about those two verses. And I went and told the pastor about this. And he said, oh, that's for the Jews. He said, you only get spiritual blessings. I said, but I need healing and I need prosperity. I need a lot of things. He said, that's for the Jews. Well, I didn't know how to stand up to that. So it kind of took the air out of my sails for a little while. And then I found verse 29. If you be Christ, so we reason things out a little bit. When you get born again, you belong to Christ now, don't you? If you be Christ. So it's talking about us. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? Whoa! Did you know that qualifies you for more blessings than the Jews? You're heirs to what Abraham had. What did Abraham have? Well, you know, when Melchizedek met him, the very first thing Melchizedek said to Abraham, he said, "Blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth." That pretty much covers everything down here, doesn't it? That pretty much covers everything up there, don't it? That pretty much covers everything. Now you know how God can boldly say you've been freely given all things with Christ Jesus. Amen? Now we can look forward to those bountiful blessings coming and overtaking us. Now we can look forward to coming to God in boldness. Because of the blood of Jesus, we can go there knowing that we have favor with Him because we are in right standing with Him because of what Jesus did. Amen? See, there's strongholds. A lot of people think when we talk about strongholds on people's minds that we found somebody out in the world. You know, some of the most stubborn, hardest strongholds I ever seen to get tore down were in people that had spent their entire life sitting in church. How can you say that? There's religious strongholds over people's minds till they will believe whatever their doctrine says over the Word of God. Blindly. They will believe what their pastor says blindly. Regardless of what the Bible says, they'll believe what the pastor says. You know, there's a teaching running around saying tongues is of the devil. And a lot of people believe that. They get told that in church. Tongues is of the devil. You know, I spent a good portion of my life sitting in bars. I was even a bartender. If tongues was of the devil, I would have at some point in my life, in my drinking career, ran across it. I heard a lot of things in the bar. But I never once heard tongues. Ever. Never. Not once. Never heard tongues until I stepped foot in a church. See, you need to think things through once in a while for yourself. Just reason it out. Don't believe everything the preacher says. Some of them guys lie through their teeth every single Sunday. Actually, lie about God. There's people that believe that we're supposed to struggle through life until we get to heaven, then we're going to get all the blessings. We get blessings here. How many? do you suppose we're going to have financial blessings when we get to heaven? I mean, when you pave your streets with gold, I'm pretty sure there's no shortage of money. I'm pretty sure there's no shortage of anything. Any financial blessings you're going to get, you're going to have to get it down here. How many people are waiting to be healed when they get to heaven? There's no sickness in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. That's signs of the curse. Down here where we need it. Amen? And the psalmist said that he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You know, they say that, they read that psalm at almost every single funeral you go to, and people got this idea that this is a heaven verse. This is a right here and now verse. Did you know there's no enemies in heaven? And it's right here. He causes us to lie down in green pastures right here. He leads us beside the still waters right here. He leads us through the trouble, through the valley of the shadow of death, down here, right here. Open yourself up to receive the blessings of God. Open yourself up to receive His abundance. Don't just believe that He can, but believe that He will, because you're His favorite child, because you are. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you've done to us and for us. And Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you that it is renewed every day because of the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you bless us in spite of ourselves. When we rely on Jesus and His work on the cross, and not on our own good works, those blessings flow freely. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.